Coffee is Coffee, Naruto fanfiction by Kirgaya, read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated teen and up, with pairing Kakashi, Guy. Kakashi buys the plant because it's pitiful. Yellowing leaves droop over the edge of the pot. They hang like heads in defeat, pliable and depressed. He roots through the foliage for the price tag because he's bored and curious, and Kuro and I will be a long while yet with their shopping. They're here at the market for books, not weeds, and he considers the tag with a sympathetic sound. He doesn't know the first thing about gardening, but even he can see the plant is doomed. A few coins and a disbelieving seller later, Kakashi wiggles the plant in amongst his bag of books. It barely survives the afternoon jostling about the market, and so does he. Kurenai buys him a nice coffee, which he considers sharing with the plant, but he thinks better of it. It's good coffee. The straw is a perfect excuse not to partake in conversation, and he throws up a genjutsu to hide his face. Kurenai's genjutsu skills far surpass his own, but she's kind enough to avert her eyes while he drinks. She doesn't mind his silence either, but she does raise her eyebrows at the sickly leaves drooping from his bag. They part ways near the Sarutobi complex, tapping vampraces in farewell. The complex isn't walled like the Uchiha district, or guarded like the Hyugas. It's small in comparison, but still the largest residence in the block. The Sarutobi family never had the numbers of its neighboring clans, but now it's dwindling. Asuma and Kurenai might be able to do something about that, but Kakashi balks at the details. He'll leave bearing and raising children to those who like the idea, and content himself with his books, his dogs, and his bad decisions to occasionally kiss Guy. Guy's apartment is a short body flicker from the Sarutobi complex. Kakashi breaks in through the window. He has a key that he never uses in an apartment of his own across the village. He hardly uses that either. Most nights, he crashes under the kotatsu in Guy's front room, with or without Guy's knowledge. The dogs appreciate the electric heater, and Kakashi likes the non-commitment of sulking at the edges of Guy's space. Win-win. There's a pair of slippers by the base of the window. Kakashi switches into them before his feet touch the ground. He'll invite himself into Guy's home, eat all of his food, and use up all of the hot water. But he isn't uncivilized. Yo. Guy looks up from his knitting. It's not an art he's particularly good at, but it's like him to need a hobby that occupies his hands. The click-clack of the needles stops, but the music from the kitchen radio continues. The partition separating the two rooms is wide open, and light floods the space. He looks comfortable, basking in warmth and surrounded by yarn. A clip holds his hair from his face. It's unspeakably casual for Guy. He would never host guests in such a state, and Kakashi freezes at the thought that he might not be one. Rival! I wasn't expecting you! Ah, says Kakashi. That much is clear. He considers his shoes in one hand and the bag in the other. Just feet away, Guy smiles brighter than the afternoon sun. His face is a little pink, as though he's been caught doing something he shouldn't. But he doesn't look unhappy to see Kakashi. He never has. Acknowledging that does weird things to Kakashi's stomach. It almost compels him to leave, but then he'll have a dead plant to deal with by himself. He doesn't want that. I bought a plant, he says, holding up the bag. Guy blinks. He's always taken Kakashi's eccentricities in stride, and today is no exception. I hadn't realized you had an interest in gardening. Kakashi wouldn't say it's the gardening that interests him. Not really. Then it is a new hobby, a sprouting hobby, you could say. We must nurture it. Hard work and... It's for you, Kakashi interrupts, dropping the bag into Guy's lap. The poor plant is on its last legs. His breath catches at Guy's awestruck expression, and something awful wonderful flutters in his chest. He tries to play it cool. It's pretty dead, so don't get too excited. I thought you might be able to save it. Guy's the one with the green thumb, and the green everything. Tears flood his eyes. Kakashi! It's just a plant. Don't look like that. Guy lifts the plant from the bag. It really is pathetic. It's more yellow than green, and it wilts like soggy cheese in his hands. He inspects the leaves with a gentle touch. The price tag makes him laugh. I will do my best to save him, he says, and no one else could sound as sincere. Out in the sun, he'll be good as new. That's a promise. Guy's apartment has the luxury of a balcony. His futon and duvet hang over it now, drying out in the sun. A kunai wire crosses over their heads, and from it dangle pillowcases and clothes. Guy's jumpsuits sway like flat octopuses in the breeze. If the balcony wasn't green enough, potted plants of all shapes and sizes cover every inch, stacking up on shelves and climbing the railing. Kakashi pushes a gigantic leaf from his face as he follows Guy outside. Despite the clutter, Guy has no trouble finding a spot for the new plant. He nestles it beside a row of herbs, none of which Kakashi recognizes. Guy pats the sorry-looking plant. Some water and nutrients, and you'll be fighting fit. It's a good thing my rival brought you to me. Do you think he'll stay for dinner? The plant says nothing. Neither does Kakashi, proving he's not so different from a mostly dead plant. He may not bask in the sun, but Guy's smile does funny things to his feelings, and he finds himself seeking that brightness in the darkest of times. Having Guy around is reassuring. Heat rises to Kakashi's face. He shifts his weight, deliberating, and realizes he's still holding his shoes. I suppose I could, Kakashi says, turning back into the apartment. He feels Guy's happiness, like a beam of sunlight on his back. He ducks into the shadows before he does something stupid like kiss Guy out here in the open. The plants won't mind, but the thought of being exposed sends a shiver down Kakashi's spine. It's cooler in the apartment. Kakashi hadn't realized he was sweating. He tidies his shoes away before he can second-guess himself, and the clack of sliding doors follows Guy inside. The outside bustle of Konoha quiets, leaving only the tune from the radio. The song is indistinct and meaningless. It's just background sound, the familiar white noise of Guy's apartment. He likes it better than his own apartment. The only thing missing is 8 rambunctious dogs. Guy approaches from behind him. His fingers brush Kakashi's back. He presses a kiss into unruly, white hair. I thought you were spending the evening at Asuma's, Guy says. He sounds pleased and trying to hide it, as though he could. Kakashi hums. The Sarutobi family are just as familiar with his fickle ways. He doesn't promise to be anywhere at any point. Asuma and Kurenai and the rest of the family will understand. Guy's the most enthusiastic about Kakashi's unexpected visits, and maybe that's half the reason they're dating. They've known each other for over 20 years, and Guy is still pleased to see him every single time. Kakashi likes seeing Guy too, of course, but there's no need to be so overt about it. "I thought you were cooking me dinner," he says. Guy squeezes him tightly, laughing. "You could offer to help." "Ah, that's not part of the deal," Kakashi says, not even pretending to think about it. "I brought you a present." "It's a very nice present," Guy agrees. He noses Kakashi's neck like one of the Ninken. Or maybe the Ninken seek affection like people, but Kakashi has more experience with dogs. "What else did you buy? Books?" "But they're for me." "I should hope so," Guy says, eyeing the bag suspiciously. "I know what kind of books you read." Kakashi smiles. He squeezes Guy's hand and they untangle, sharing one last kiss as they part. It's hardly a proper kiss with Kakashi's mask up, but sometimes it's all he can offer. Guy looks delighted all the same. The plant survives. Kakashi's certainly not attached to it, but it did cost him a few coins. In the mornings, when Guy is singing in the shower, he rolls out from under the kotatsu and sneaks over to the balcony to check if it's alive. It doesn't perk up at his arrival like his dogs, but as the days go by, it starts looking less pathetic. Maybe there's hope for it. Kakashi prods the leaves and sips his coffee. And when Guy stops singing, he slips back inside. The balcony spans Guy's bedroom. As always, Guy's futon is packed away by the time Kakashi wakes, leaving the room almost bare. Knickknacks from his students decorate the edges of the room, and plants spill in from outside, slowly infesting the space. Kakashi's gaze drifts towards the closet. There's a spare futon in there, he knows, and he worries his lip. Most people would have fallen into bed together by now. Kakashi is not most people. He returns to the front room, still cradling the coffee. He's slept there 3 times this week, and each time, a cup was ready for him in the morning. The first time, he was too tired to think much of it, and the second was a surprise. Now, he can't help but wonder what Guy wants from him. It's not like Guy to be indirect. That's Kakashi's job. Still, he's not going to turn his nose up at free coffee, and he's not going to confront Guy about it. But the thought lingers in the back of his mind. There's a few things Guy could want. Kakashi is not sure he can give any of them. The coffee is good, though, and Guy hopping past in a towel certainly isn't bad. Kakashi dwells on that thought until Guy reappears with the towel slung over his shoulder. He's dressed now, which is both a relief and a shame, although his jumpsuit is peeled down to his waist, the sleeves not neatly over his navel. Water drips from his hair and sparkles on the mesh undershirt that so few people get to see. It's a good look. A great one. Kakashi may only have one eye half the time and depth of field of a rock, but he's not blind. Guy is buff. Painfully so. The jumpsuit is an eyesore and a distraction, but the mesh is glorious. "Rival, have you not finished your coffee? You're going to be late with your meeting with the Lady Hokage." Kakashi's happy being late if it means admiring Guy a little longer. He slurps his coffee. His meeting with Tsunade is confidential. He may trust Guy implicitly, but their Hokage can punch holes through the walls. Did I tell you about that? The Lady Hokage called out to me while I was climbing the Hokage's rock this morning, Guy explains, eyes glinting. The rock looms with the presence of its makers over the Hokage's residence. Guy hollering at the crack of dawn must have woken Tsunade, and Kakashi doubts she had anything nice to say about that. I was blindfolded at the time, but I recognized her voice. Not that Guy would have been able to recognize her face, even scaling a gigantic replica of it. Uh-huh, Kakashi says, amused despite himself. And she knew you'd see me. How? Guy strikes a victorious pose. Our rivalry is known all throughout the village. That's how. We are men of destiny, locked in battle. Our challenges are legendary. Also, he says, dropping his voice. I told her. But there is no harm in that. Kakashi sighs. The easy bliss of mornings in Guy's apartment droops like that half-dead plant. He should have kept his mouth shut. A more familiar feeling sprouts in his chest. Panic. His gaze darts from Guy to the door, and he hates himself just a little bit more. She's going to get the wrong idea. And then I'll never hear the end of it, he thinks. Ever since Tsunade returned to the village, she's been hell-bent on making his life miserable. There was some reason about being his father's friend, or enemy, it's hard to say. First, she antagonized him about the Sharingan, and now it's training to take the hat. Guy's not supposed to know about that, though, and Tsunade isn't supposed to know about Guy. She'll assume they're having sex. Everyone does. Kakashi's skin crawls at the thought. There is no wrong idea, Guy says. We're rivals. If only it was as simple as that. Kakashi dumps the dregs of his coffee down the sink. Don't want to be late for my meeting, do I? He sings songs, ignoring the crease to Guy's brow. It's not fleeing if he has to leave anyway, and it's not ignoring a problem if he refuses to acknowledge that there is a problem to avoid. No, of course not, Guy says slowly. Unsure. He dithers just out of reach, which is a safe place to be. Should I expect you for dinner tonight? I'll be at Asuma's. Guy nods once, as though he'd expected that. Whether that was always Kakashi's plan isn't worth questioning. In fact, he knows better. And regardless of any snub or frustration he must be feeling, he still has a smile to bid Kakashi goodbye. Kakashi's traitorous heart can't handle it. You know you're invited, he hears himself say. Guy blinks. His smile wobbles and then brightens tenfold. Kakashi basks in it like that useless plant. I do? Yes, I most certainly do. I will see you tonight, then. Hopefully, Kakashi hasn't made a mistake. Right. I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. Guy's sparkling intensifies. Kakashi can almost hear the glinting, like gold coins in a pocket or hail against a window. The only hail in Guy's life is Kakashi's mood. And Kakashi curses everything about himself as he snatches Guy's vest. The mesh is cool and clinks in his hand, and Guy's breath is warm and surprised as Kakashi steals it from his lips. I'm still angry at you. Guy huffs a laugh, Brushing hair from Kakashi's eyes. This close, the damp of his towel seeps into Kakashi's shirt. His wet fringe sticks to both of their faces. He kisses Kakashi's forehead. I may not have your eye, rival, but I did notice. Kakashi nods. He loosens his grip on Gai's vest, smoothing the metal rings back into place. Nothing else is said, but some of his panic eases away. An apology rises up his throat, but he shoves it down along with the rest of his befuddling feelings. He's a mere 30 minutes late to the meeting. Guess I have Maito to thank, is all Tsunade says on the matter, on either matter. She kicks out a chair and pours herself a scotch. It's barely 10 a.m. Park your ass. We're talking politics. You want one? Kakashi can still taste the coffee in his mouth. He can still feel Gai's lips against his. He thinks of bundling under the kotatsu in Gai's apartment and sighs. He would rather be there, warm and cozy, with the uncertainty of Gai's desires, than here, with the prospect of one day inheriting the hat. I probably shouldn't. Suit yourself, says Tsunade, and she downs the scotch. Atsuna is smoking on the Sarutobi family porch when Kakashi arrives. As the eldest living Sarutobi and the Lord Third's younger sister, she is the esteemed lady of the house. By rights, she is also the clan head and protector of the family following Lord Third's death. But Atsuna claims to be bored of all that chin-wagging nonsense, which is a decision Kakashi can respect. In fact, he respects her far more than he ever respected a Lord Third, but that's an opinion Kakashi keeps to himself and Gai. Even still, Atsuna is like her brother in many ways. She is even-tempered but stern, and she shares Lord Third's fondness for tobacco. She has the same peppered hair and small eyes, but when Kakashi waggles his fingers in greeting, she smiles as Lord Third never had. Gai warned us you were coming, Atsuna says. Straightforward lad, that one. Warned probably isn't the word Gai used. That was nice of him, Kakashi drawls, hands stuffed in his pockets. His decision to inconvenience the Sarutobis instead of Gai tonight was a moment of panic, but Atsuna doesn't need to know that. He probably should have told her to expect him, but of course he could trust Gai to have his back. A warm evening settles over Konoha. Kakashi claims a spot on the couch and flips open a book, and it promises to be a peaceful night. Gai arriving will change that, but Kakashi has some time until then. Too much time. His thoughts stray to that morning, to Gai singing in the shower and coffee in the sun. He wonders if Gai will have left his jumpsuit unzipped, and Kakashi smashes his face into his book to hide an embarrassed smile. He misses Gai, even if the rest of his feelings are a mess. That much is true. His face is a mess, too. Once Konohamaru decides it's the perfect canvas to test his paints. It's certainly not the worst state the Sarutobi family has ever seen him in, although it might be the most colorful, and more than one mouth unrolls into a smile at the nauseating smattering of spirals, kunai, and shurikens painted over Kakashi's face and mask. "Hey, kiddo," Asuma greets, a whole 2 years older than Kakashi and prepared to rub it in every day. Konohamaru got you, huh? Konohamaru has run off looking for more paint, so Asuma is safe to laugh. Kakashi offers a flat look. No, I did this to myself. He deadpans, gesturing to the pink Uzushio spiral between his eyes. His mask hadn't deterred little Konohamaru in the slightest, and now Kakashi has dog teeth on both sides of the fabric. He smiles despite himself, those sharp teeth catching his skin. Konohamaru's energetic and loud, and more stubborn than the rest of the Sarutobis combined. But he's a good kid. Not many people would dare scribble all over Kakashi's face. I like the green, Asuma says, grinning. It's been nearly 10 years since he started treating Kakashi like a little brother, and Kakashi is still suffering. Now you just need a jumpsuit. Shove off, Kakashi not swears as Konohamaru dashes back into the room. He manages not to cringe at the neon yellow tube of paint, but the wobbles in his laughter betray his unease. Why don't you paint your uncle? He prompts, bracing himself as Konohamaru clambers into his lap. The kid's just as wriggly as Naruto, and Naruto's an Uzumaki. At least Konohamaru doesn't have those preteen elbows and knees. I think Asuma needs a bullseye right on his forehead. Asuma laughs. So does Konohamaru, whipping around to his uncle with paint in hand. Kakashi can't say he's fond of kids. Gai handles them better. They're confusing and small, and their thoughts run a mile a minute. He's never quite sure what they want, and it unnerves him. The whims of children seem to change with the wind, and he never knows what to expect. He prefers the predictable, comforts himself with it. Every tragedy in Kakashi's life was unexpected, and he doesn't like unexpected things. Gai arrives as Konohamaru paints paw prints onto the back of Kakashi's hands. Kakashi feels the Sarutobi seals welcome Gai's fiery chakra, and then there's a shrill cry of surprise as Asuma's other aunt opens the door. Who's that? Konohamaru asks, peeping over the couch. He has far too much energy, even for an 8-year-old. Kakashi knows someone who might be able to help with that. That's your second canvas, Kakashi replies seriously. If he's going to look like an idiot in front of Gai, then Gai needs to look like an idiot too. Why don't you go and grab him? Of course I am happy to assist with your artwork, Gai declares as Konohamaru drags him into the room. His eyes dazzle as he catches sight of Kakashi. Konohamaru seats them together on the couch, and Gai's so excited that his chakra sparkles around him. His face is gently tan from the sun, and there's grass stuck to his shoulders from rolling about the training field with his students. He won't kiss Kakashi with Konohamaru looking, but Kakashi half wishes he would. I see you're already hard at work, Gai says, his gaze warm and more than one type of admiration. Konohamaru is 8, and of course doesn't notice, but Kakashi diverts his attention somewhere safer, like the fraying edge of the couch. Having Gai around may be reassuring, and it is, even when it's annoying, and even when they disagree. But it's also confusing as fuck. I think Kakashi would like to draw on me too, Gai says. There's nothing suggestive about his tone this time, but it feels like there should be. Konohamaru looks between them, his face scrunched in confusion. Kakashi would like to mirror that expression, but it's difficult with rainbow kunai all over his face. Together, they doodle on Gai. He rolls up his sleeves all the way to his shoulders, and Konohamaru gives him an anbu tattoo. Higashi debates painting a dick on Guy's cheek, but thinks better of it. There is a child present. He waits until Konohamaru is distracted, and then draws a heart instead. Guy accidentally smudges it when he tries to kiss Kakashi's nose, and they both have purple streaks all the way up to their ears. Kakashi laughs, a blush rising up his face to turn him pink. Etsuna beckons them to dinner. Kurenai proves she's the only decent person in the house when she throws them some face wipes to clean up with. "I wanted to apologize for this morning," Guy says, scrubbing the remains of the heart away. It was a good heart, if Kakashi could say so himself. He hums instead of answering. The apology was only a matter of time. Guy never shies away from his feelings, be that happiness, regret, or grief. Everything about him is so much, and that includes his sincerity. It's one of the few sincerities in the village Kakashi trusts. "I feel like I went behind your back, and that isn't what I wanted. You're my rival, and I've never been afraid to tell people that, but I made you uncomfortable, and I'm sorry. I trust the Lady Hokage didn't say anything." Kakashi tilts his head, acknowledging. The apology doesn't quell any anger within him, but he's not sure he was all that angry after all. He wipes the Anbu tattoo from Guy's shoulder. It smears like blood over Guy's skin. "She wanted to thank you, actually, since I was almost on time." "That was all?" "You don't have to sound so surprised," Kakashi drawls. "No, I only meant I would talk to her if need be." Kakashi wipes the last of the Anbu mark away. Ridding himself of his own tattoo isn't as easy. "I suppose it wouldn't be the first time," he muses, lowering his voice. Painting a dick on Guy's face would be more appropriate than speaking ill of the Lord Third here. "It's not like you to let what other people say bother you." "It bothers you," Guy says. "It has always bothered you." Kakashi supposes it has. He stares at the wet wipe scrunched up in his grasp. At times like this, he misses his Anbu mask. The anonymity of Hound was a powerful tool. He knew what to expect with a porcelain face, and he knew what others expected of him. It's different now, with the kids, his friends, and Guy. But he can't fool himself into thinking that it's Guy who's changed. "Do you have a spare mask with you?" "Of course," Guy cries, barely missing a beat. He whips out one of Kakashi's black masks from his jonin jacket, as though it has any right to be there. He folds it into a little square before handing it over, as though Kakashi's compulsion to hide himself away is something to cherish. Kakashi's the reason they're arguing. Kakashi's avoidance is the reason they're not really arguing. "I'm terrible with words," he says. "I know," says Guy. He presses the mask into Kakashi's paw-printed hands. Something has changed, but Kakashi is not sure what. He follows Guy home without a word, hands in his pockets and arms close to his body. The front door of Guy's apartment is an unusual sight. He almost drops in through the window just for the sake of it, but then Guy is holding open the door. It's late, but they have their routine. Kakashi showers while Guy prepares the bedding. He has his own towel here, and enough clothes for a week. The sun has set, but it's still warm, threatening humidity. Kakashi can feel it like lightning in his hair. His binder is a nightmare to pull off with the sweat, It smells worse than his mask, and that's an achievement, so he throws it into the laundry basket to deal with tomorrow. The kitchen smells like chamomile. Kakashi shuffles in with his shorts sticking to his thighs. The kotatsu and all its pillows are laid out in the front room, but it's too hot to think about that now. Guy dives into the bathroom to cool off, and Kakashi frowns at the cup of tea on the counter. It's not coffee, but it was waiting for him. Straightforward lad, Atsuna had said about Guy. Kakashi carries it out onto the balcony. Guy's plants are pleased for the summer. The one Kakashi salvaged last week is green and brilliant now. Some of its leaves are still a little floppy. There's no harm in that. He'd known Guy would be able to save it, but he still can't believe his luck. It would have been such a terrible gift if it had died. What are you thinking about? Guy asks, squeezing Kakashi into a hug. Your plants. I fear I'm running out of space to house them all, Guy laments. I need a bigger balcony. You need less plants. Never! Guy cries. I will find more space. I just have to think outside the box a little and adapt. Kakashi hums into his tea. They speak of expanding Guy's garden until he's finished the drink. When it's time for bed, they part ways. Kakashi bundles himself under the kotatsu, with a fan whirring in his face. He lies there for some time, thinking and overthinking about the fact that he followed Guy home. Fuck's sake. He picks up the fan and takes it to Guy's room. It's not a plant or an apology, but it will have to do. You know, Kakashi begins, searching for a power socket in the dark. It's already cooler in Guy's room with the door open, but he needs the excuse. He pats along the wall until he finds one, dragging the fan across the floor. Guy's alert by then, but even Kakashi's genin would be awake with all the noise. You know, most people aren't totally okay when I say I'm not interested in sex. The fan whirs to life. Kakashi dumps it in the corner and crosses the room to Guy's futon in two determined strides. He's a tough guy before he can second-guess himself, holding him down onto the mattress. His fingers span Guy's shoulder and neck. Guy's hair is shorter at the back, finer. Kakashi could dig his fingers into it. He could swipe his hand over Guy's jugular. He could push a Chidori through his ribs. Guy is pliant, utterly still. His expression is wide and unassuming, if not a little baffled, and he could lean up if he really wanted to, or push Kakashi away. He doesn't. His hands spread flat on the duvet between them. It's inaction that bears considering. He trusts Kakashi's touch. And Kakashi trusts his touch. I am not most people, Guy says proudly. His heart hammers under Kakashi's hand. His chest rises and falls. Kakashi can feel Guy aching to touch. He can feel most of Guy, relaxed and hot under the duvet. Long weeks of almost and nearlies have landed them here, and now that they are here, Kakashi doesn't know what to do. He isn't usually so impulsive, and he isn't casually physical about his affection like Guy. Guy's touchy-feely about these things, and Kakashi is just touchy, a dithering plant on a shelf. He slides his hands down to Guy's chest, pushing some space between them. He's aware that astride Guy's lap is a provocative position, Thoughts like that compel something inside of him to shrivel. I'm not really angry at you. A grin grows across Guy's face. His hands remain near Kakashi's thighs, which is fine. I think I am beginning to see that, Guy says. Let it be said that he may not catch on quickly, but he does catch on. This morning, you were worried that Lady Tsunade would comment on our sexual lives. Trust Guy to word it like that. Kakashi glowers. Everyone does. Guy nods as though he expected that answer. Does that include me? Straightforward lad, Atsune said. This morning, Kakashi wouldn't have hesitated. I don't know, he says, and he hates it. Over 20 years they've known each other, and yet only Guy has figured his rival out. Kakashi didn't think there was anything about Guy to figure out, or maybe he's overthinking it, just as he overthinks everything else. Sometimes coffee is coffee. Does it? Guy's grin only brightens, sparkles gathering in his eyes. They might be tears. He cups Kakashi's face in one swift motion, fingers spanning his jaw and tickling the white hair behind his ears. The truth is, rival, I am just happy to be here with you. To be at your side is everything I've ever wanted. So to be given anything more is a most wonderful thing. The neighbors can probably hear him. Kakashi certainly can. That doesn't mean the words make any sense. It's awfully magnanimous to expect so little, even for Guy. Kakashi has yet to meet a single person who hasn't laughed in the face of his needs. Do you even know what you're saying? Of course I do, Guy says, thumbing over the scar bisecting Kakashi's eye. Kakashi's face scrunches, maskless, which seems to amuse him. We don't have to have sex, now or ever. Our rivalry didn't need it before. I don't assume it will happen, and I don't expect it. And that's a promise. Guy's promises are nothing to scoff at. Kakashi considers it. Considers Guy. The fan blows cool air between them, soothing the silence with the familiar white noise of the apartment. Kakashi's vest flutters in the breeze. Guy must be sweltering. His neck is sticky with sweat, and so is his chest as Kakashi slides his fingers down. It's hard to forget exactly where Kakashi is sitting. So this is very nice, Guy declares, catching Kakashi's hand and lifting it to kiss. But doesn't mean we have to have sex. But you want to. I do, yes. And you do not. Kakashi can't say it ever occurred to him to want it. It feels like the village is in an elaborate joke at his expense, and it certainly wouldn't be the first time. He doesn't like what people whisper about him. He doesn't like the way they look at him, as though he'd be more interesting without a mask. And you're just fine with that. Yes, I do not know how to put it any simpler. I know how careful you are with your affections. That is fine, but I need you to trust that I am sure in mine. Trusting Guy was never in question. Okay, Kakashi says, but it doesn't feel like enough. He leans down, tipping himself forward onto his forearms. This close, Guy's breath of surprise is warm on his skin. He can see Guy's fringe waving in the breeze, and he smiles, pushing a hand through Guy's hair. It's thick and short, and Guy tips his head back, enjoying the caress. All he needs is a clip to complete the look. That spare futon. It's yours, Guy says, eyes slipping shut. His smile is big and loopy. Whenever you want it. I can roll it out in the front room if you'd prefer. And give up my kotatsu. No thanks. He presses a kiss to the corner of Guy's mouth. It's so wide and easy to find in the dark. Kakashi turns his face to brush their lips together, and it's barely a kiss, this time. Momentary intent. It doesn't have to be anything else. Think I'll roll it out here. I'd like that, Guy says. And it's Guy. Of course he would. The end. Thank you for listening.